Hi, this is Becca Hefner, and welcome to the Faith Center Podcast Network. We want to be a source of hope, joy, and encouragement on your drive to work, your time at home, and anywhere in between. Be sure to like and subscribe to get all your daily and weekly content. For more information about Faith Center and the podcast network, please visit lgfoursquare.com. That's LG, the number four, square.com. If you would like to be a part of the conversation, you can email the show at podcast@lgfoursquare.com. Thanks and enjoy the show. Welcome to the Barnabas Project and our weekly interview. This is part two with Sam. Sam Burrow.
How's hello. Everybody? Hello. Welcome.
Good. And his lovely wife, Hannah, is with us here.
Yes, I am.
And good old Uncle Chong is here.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird that I'm in here for part two. But strangely enough, because I'm the podcast editor, I already heard you guys.
That's great.
So just assume I was in the room.
That's right. Perfect.
I always assume you're watching.
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
That's excellent. I did not go there with you because I can't hit that note.
Oh.
I'm an alto friend. No. When last we met,
yeah,
Sam, mm-hmm. The story dropped off, and Hannah had not been introduced yet. So
I know
into the story.
So just to recap, mm-hmm. Right? My mother birthed me.
Wow, we're going all the way back there.
That's a big recap.
That's wow. Okay, I'm in.
Birthed.
Yeah.
My mom had already gave birth to an older son, and then I was in the picture. And then she met a wonderful man who introduced her to Christ. They fell in love, got married, had another child. And so we were a happy family of five. And then we found ourselves moving to New Mexico, where I, from a young age, started to realize my learning disabilities and the struggles I would face in my life, all the way to the point where very much down on myself, very much didn't really have a high expectations of myself because of situations and things people have said to me, teachers, friends, etc. Then my parents went on a mission trip to Bangkok, Thailand, where then a couple months later, we sold everything, went across the ocean, and next 5 years of my life were pure adventure and fantasy.
You went to Hogwarts.
Fantasy.
Sometimes I don't believe. I think back and I'm like, was that even real? But then I have my friends, like the other day I was playing video games. My friend Dongju called me and he was like, what's up, Sam? And I was like, what's up, brother? And he was like, in Korea, you're already 30. And I was like, oh, okay.
Now let's get some things straight here. Like when you're saying you talked to this person, was this on the phone or was this over a video game chat?
This was over the phone, but oh, okay. I was playing video games at the time.
Okay. And he was chatting with another person.
And I was chatting to another person who also knew Dongju. Because they met before. That's the rearound sound.
Okay, yeah.
Graduated. Felt really proud of myself, proving a lot of people wrong that I was smart enough, that I could accomplish things. So I was putting on a high horse, and I made a list of what I want to do with my life. And so quickly, I started to go through this list and kind of see where my passions lie, where my purpose was, and also figure out my relationship with the Lord. And so I soon found out that all those crazy experiences I experienced in Thailand, the people in America, my friends who I knew from like previously being there and like summer camps and stuff, were now entering into an age I was exiting. Mm. So I was in a very like nomadic state. Mm-hmm.
Same age, but way different experiences.
Right. Mm. So gotcha. Like I already was like done with my party phase.
Yeah.
Like I was like, that wasn't fun. Like I don't know why I thought that was going to be fun.
I already know why that sucks.
If you people have seen the things that I've seen, this would be really boring to you. Gotcha.
And so I just started to go around, and then I found myself in Michigan after my parents came back from Thailand, mm-hmm. and couldn't find a job for the life of me. And then a couple disappointments later, and then not getting jobs and things like that, then I found myself at a camp being a special needs counselor. And that was the last thing on my list. My list was about people I wanted to help because I knew the Lord made me to be a person of the people. Mm. And I wanted to be a people for the person. Mm. And through that time and throughout my entire life, I can look back and see individual little moments where the Lord was like teaching me something that I'm going to lead into the future. And so, it's the last week of camp, and they're making an A-class team of counselors. I think, oh, Sam, you were a great one-on-one, but we know you originally signed up to be a high school counselor. Would you like to be a high school counselor for your last week? And I was like, absolutely, I would love to. And so this is like the best of the best.
Cream of the crop.
Thank you. Cream.
Man, I'm glad she's here.
We finish each other's
sandwiches.
Oh, that was so cute. That goes to our future.
Yeah. You know what, Candace? I don't think I got time for this interview anymore.
Just keep it rolling. So we're all at a table, and we found out that one of the girl counselors had to leave because something family related happened. And so they pulled someone from a totally different part of the camp. And these camps are separated, right? Not really, but we don't deal with each other. And
we're very large in ourselves.
Yeah. And so all of a sudden this beautiful woman throws up the table.
An angel.
Like, so gorgeous. And I was so not wanting to do anything with girls at that moment, too.
Okay.
Because literally the week before this happened, I kind of had this moment. Before. Yeah, literally like the day before, I was like, Lord, I'm so sorry I was distracted by women. Please just let me be focused on you. You know, those classic little prayers.
Classic camp scenario.
And I was a high school counselor. And because it was the first time I've ever been around beautiful Christian women.
Mm-hmm.
In a ton of them.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, what if I died and went to heaven? What's going on? But I was like, no, I had to work. And so I was like, I'm done being distracted. And my friend's like, bro, don't be like that.
And so don't be that guy.
I was like, wow.
Thanks.
Bing. And then we danced. We were in his car and he kind of called me out. And I was like, thanks, bro.
Okay.
And then I was like, okay, Lord, I give it to you. And then the next day, hi, my name's Hannah Kay.
Hannah Kay.
And that's when the first time I met my future wife.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so.
Hannah, wait, time out. Hannah, what was your first impression of Sam?
I thought he was a nice guy. I was.
Oh, nice guy.
I thought he was a nice
guy. Sam, can we have you step out of the room for a minute? Yeah.
I was more like just terrified of where I was. I was like, I'm with the big high school kids.
Yeah. Give us some context about your end of this story.
Okay, so for that summer, I was a middle school art counselor, but I was also all over Spring Hill territory. Like I was, we had day camp, so I was in Chicago for 2 weeks, and that was just new and learning, very stretching because I like just not, that's not how I like things. But it was the second, it's the second to last week of camp,
right? Because
that's important as well. Right. And so it was the second to last week of camp, and they're like, we're going to move you to the high school group. And I'm like, no, I don't want to go. Like, I've trained all summer to be an art counselor. I finally get my chance, and you're shipping me off somewhere. They're like, well, like, we really want you to go, and you don't really have a say in it. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I walked in absolutely terrified. I remember who I sat next to, and I remember you were, like, kitty corner, and I was like, cool, this is everyone. These are all the cool people. I'm, like, the little sister coming in, not knowing anything.
Right.
Intimidating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was quite an intense moment. Before she sat down, I was like, guys, we got to make sure she feels welcomed and like, we don't show any beef and we got to be nice. So that week we had a great group of kids.
Yeah.
Still talk to a lot of them today. Mm-hmm. They send me messages when they see pictures of our kids and things like that. And so they were some of the first people to ever see Sam and Hannah even function together.
Yeah. All right. Nice.
And all that week, sorry.
It's people like you.
Thank you.
Chong, the editing probably so much fun.
Chong is massaging his temples right now going, oh my Lord.
I don't even know what to make of this guy.
Chong, you did a sound effect for something Aaron was like, what's that? Boom, boom. And you took the time to put in the sound effects.
I
craft it yourself.
I had a synthesizer next to me. What am I going to do?
I know.
He's going to synth your burp. That's what's
going to
happen.
Auto-tune.
Oh, I wonder. Oh.
That whole week, I paid no real attention to Hannah besides she was a co-counselor,
sure.
Being nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We worked together.
Camp is intense. I mean, you're in it for a very long day. Yeah. Long day.
And this is 24 hours for the last couple months.
Yeah. For the last, like, I think we're coming up on 3 months.
3 months of constant camp.
Yeah. That's a lot.
And this was a 1 week team and they were fun. I really loved the group we were with. And so at the end of it, since it was the second to last week at camp, they were like, well, you got to be that So they shipped me to another side of camp called Storybrook, which is like the little kids.
Little babies.
I was like, okay. So basically was a little babysitter for a week. And so then in between the weekend.
After meeting you.
So we just got done with our high school camp and a group was going back to Grand Rapids where I live and a couple other high school guys lived, and they're getting a group together and some of Hannah's friends.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, yo, Hannah, you should come. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, take it from here, Hannah. You take it.
So, well, it was like our people, everyone who was staffing that week together, we were all going to go get sushi. And I remember talking to one friend, be like, is Sam going to go? Is Sam coming? Like, is he going to be there? Just be like, oh, Sam, like, everyone's going to get sushi, like, in Grand Rapids, 3 hours away. Do you want to come? Are you coming?
I was like, yeah.
Why would I?
I'm so, guy. So we went and we got sushi.
Yeah.
And we went bowling. And,
oh, yeah. And we got pizza.
We got pizza. And the whole time, Hannah was asking me questions about my time in Thailand and all the things. And then she revealed that she was going to go to a mission organization, like, in a month.
Yeah, really quickly.
Pretty quick after. And it was just kind of like, what was your experience being a missionary? And so I just got to tell her all my crazy stories in Thailand. I was in the back of the car.
You were, and, like, in the trunk of the Jeep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super safe.
This is what you do.
Yeah.
Split gas money as quickly as possible.
So the week, Storybrook, babysitting, blah, blah, blah. End of the camp. Everyone's leaving. And Hannah is on a mission.
I really liked Sam. And I was like, you know, I want to be friends. But, like, I'm also okay with being more than friends. Because guys super scared me. And so I was like, I'm just going to put myself out there in a noble, honest way. And be like, I want to be friends. And so I was like, I'm going to get a hug from him. Because as any tall girl knows, if you get a hug from a guy, you can tell how tall they are. And I was like, he has to be taller than me. I think he is. I'll hug him and I'll see.
So there I was standing underneath a tree. And Hannah, hi. Oh, hey, Hannah. I think we should be real life friends.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. And then I think we already had each other's number. And you're like,
yeah.
Can I get a hug? And I was like, yeah, sure. And so we hugged. And I was like, okay. Talk to you later, girl.
Yeah.
I was like, that Hannah K, she's interesting.
She's a strange cat.
And I was like, oh my gosh, she's taller than me. And so I was like,
And so then maybe a week after that, we started texting.
Time out. How tall are you?
I'm 5'9¾", but I just call myself 5'10".
You know the exact number.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm like 6'1", 2-ish. 6'10". Just kidding. I'm not that tall.
We've seen that before, though.
Here. Right.
Yeah.
Pastor Will.
Yeah. Six, what? Really? 6'6", right?
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's all. And so a week later, we just started texting and, you know, that classic back and forth, getting to know each other. And
paragraphs.
Then we had like a Skype.
Mm-hmm.
Skype. Yeah. Throwback to Skype.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And so like we hung out through Skype a little bit and she was getting ready to leave.
Yeah.
And so I had to make a decision about my life during this time because my parents were leaving Michigan, right? Or is that in the future?
That was a bit in the future, but we can jump there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's jump.
So during this time, Hannah's going to this mission organization, right? And she's doing classes there and things. And we would talk at night and we just started to have these really deep conversations about the Lord.
And like things I was learning and I would bring it up to you and we'd basically discuss it ourselves.
Yeah. And so we just had really good conversations. And during this time I was back home and I was working at a church and things like that. And then she was about to go on her trip. So like at this place you like do schooling and then you go overseas for a mission. And so she was going to India. Mm-hmm. And so during that time, my parents were like, hey, we're going to leave. Like, what you going to do? And I was like, oh, man, what am I going to do? And I was like, you know, I kind of got this kind of K girl here, you know, and I have some pretty good friends. So I was like, you know what? I'll stick it. I'll hang out here. And so my parents were beginning the process of moving. And Hannah was like, oh, man, I got to do something cute for Sam while I'm gone.
Yeah. So in the Christmas break time, I found a puzzle and I wrote notes, and I would put like puzzle pieces in each little note. And so he would get these over the time when I was gone, had my mom mail them. And I was like, Mom, you have to mail these on these specific dates. And so
that's adorable.
And then he would put the whole puzzle together. And then the last letter was on the back side of the puzzle, but there was a piece missing.
Yeah. So for about 2 months, I get these letters, puzzle pieces inside. And I was like, first I was like, this is really cool. And then every week I'd get multiple letters and slowly start to piece the puzzle together. And it hit me. I was like, man, I've never been in a relationship where someone equally pursued me in like as like a prize almost, you know, and like wanted to woo me. And I was kind of like really taken back by that. I was like, wow, she really cares about me, because I've never had someone go out of their way this hugely just to like do something sweet and a little clever. And so by the end, I had this whole puzzle together and I could read the note. I had a piece missing. So I was waiting for this piece.
And that piece I took with me all over India. So it was in my little like wallet with my money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that.
And so what did you see all over India?
A common phrase, well, word, Sam. And so I saw your name. I even took a picture with
you. Yeah, I have the picture still.
In India, just all over.
And so we talked occasionally. I got letters. I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life. And then she comes back. She graduates, everything. And we're going on our first date. Mm-hmm. And we go see the new hit movie.
Did you guys call it a date, or was it like just a
mutual
understanding?
It was a date.
So you said, we're going on a date.
We're going to go hang out. We're going to go see a movie.
Yeah. We didn't call it a date. We're like, yeah, we're going to go hang out, like just the two of us.
Because we weren't dating, and that's probably because of me.
Yeah.
Right. Being a boy.
Yeah.
And I used the word boy intentionally. Uh-huh. But we went on a date, mm-hmm. And we went to go see this new hit Disney movie, Frozen.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah. And it was like my seventh time seeing it because everybody was seeing it, all my friend groups and stuff.
Did she know this, or did you pretend like this was the first time for you?
He told me.
Yeah. I was okay. Like, this is my sixth time doing this. Like, hey, cool. She's like, great. And so we like saw the movie, and then we got Panera together.
Yeah, we did.
And then the second date, she brought someone along.
I did. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Who'd you bring?
My mom. What? There's a reasonable explanation.
Too soon, Hannah.
Hannah, I feel like you're doing great. You're pursuing him. You're like, you have a plan. You have the man in play, and then you bring in your mommy?
Mommy?
Feels a little like a slip up to me, too. Right?
Classic sitcom comedy. You know?
Yeah.
So what happened is I was wet. So I came home from this organization, and I had my associate's degree, but I was trying to get also my bachelor's. And right. So my parents were showing me colleges, and we were touring one that was close by Sam. And I had been talking about the Sam guy with my family, and they're like, who, what? And so, my mom had this idea, spur of the moment thing, like, hey, we're only like 45 minutes away from Grand Rapids. Why don't we go over and see him? I was like, okay. And so I texted him like, yo, I think I called you actually. I think, yeah, I called you. And I was like, hey, do you want to have lunch with me and my mom? Visiting.
And I saw this as a challenge.
He did.
Oh.
I went, okay. Absolutely.
And so we went to Panera again.
Yeah, we went to Panera again. And your mom interrogated me.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Yeah.
You rarely said anything.
I did. I held your hand while we prayed for our food, though.
Yeah, you did. You did. Ah. But
she's making moves.
Your
making
mom,
the Christian girl moves.
Your mom called Texas a godforsaken state. Oh. Correct?
Oh. In a joking way, yes. But those were the words.
So I was like, okay. Now I know woman. Now I know mom.
Yep.
And so we're starting to figure out what we're going to do. Right? So we're dating. We're trying to, what was that?
I think Mike's out there throwing snowballs.
It's Cameron.
Oh.
We're trying to figure out what we're doing, right? I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing, because I'm like, okay, she's sticking around. I'm sticking around. And I just had this struggle of like, am I willing to commit to this? Mm-hmm. You know, because not only am I committing to her, but I knew that I would be committing to a family. And slowly, like all families, we can see kind of like the imperfects and the dynamics, mm-hmm. and things. And so I was like, okay, like, and especially like being home after being an adult, for you was kind of difficult.
It was really rough. Yeah.
Yeah. and they never had Hannah date anybody before.
No.
So it was the first time for a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a driver's license, and that was a struggle because they didn't want Hannah to drive 2 hours to see me. And so
to them, yeah. Yeah.
To them,
it felt very one-sided, even though it was not.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made these plans and we started to like fill that rift and the time between us. And we finally got to the next summer where we're like, let's do the camp again.
Yeah.
Together.
We were working at it again. We were both in the same groups. We were both in the high school group, so the TST group, which is what it's called.
Yeah. And we kind of got up to that point. And one of my best friends in the world, Isaac Wright, beautiful black man, one of my best friends growing up, was getting married to his best friend.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like really on the fence about me and Hannah, just because the tension and the kind of the drama that was happening with you and the parents and like me and being a boy. And so I was like, I got to go clear my head. I was like, I got to go do this real quick. And then we can talk about when I get back, you know? And so I went there, and in this week trip, I kind of had this huge coming to Jesus moment of just like seeing my best friend with his best friend, right? Getting married. And it was just them two, and just like watching their relationship grow up too. And I was a part of it. All I could think about was Hannah, like every time, like all the time. I even got to see what unhealthy relationships look like. And I came back jazzed. I was like, Hannah, I'm doing this, and I'm not going to be teeter tottering on this anymore. I'm going to freaking do this. I'm going to really like put my like cards in here now. All the while Hannah's at the camp doing training.
Yep.
And
I was not as enthusiastic.
She's not as enthusiastic because we had like, everyone was okay. I'm not trying to toot my own horn. But I'm kind of the bee's knees.
People know you.
People in the TST were like, Sam Burrow is this, this, and this. Sam Burrow made this funny church song. Sam, you know, and so all Hannah was hearing from guys and girls were me, and no one knew about us. And she's like, well, I wrote letters to Sam.
So I've held Sam's hand. So I
show up and I'm like, I'm going to marry you.
Oh.
And you're like, no, I didn't really say that. Oh, okay. But I was just like, I remember getting into the meeting room and I was like, pew! And I was like, there she is. We're like opposite sides.
Yeah.
And so then we worked together at camp.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole bunch of like small little God, little miracles happened during that time. And slowly we got to work together and hide our relationship from campers because you can't just tell.
Yeah, yeah. No purple. Yeah.
That's literally what we
I've done camps before, guys. Come on.
Whoa. And like we worked together, and there was multiple times where we were like, wow, we're a really good team. Mm-hmm. And we really cover each other's weaknesses. Yeah. And so by the end of that camp, we were both fully aware that we were going to be married. This was meant to be.
Yeah. We knew our next step was like getting engaged and everything.
And so after camp, Hannah and I sat down and kind of debriefed and talked about what was going on with me. And I was kind of like, yeah, I was just kind of nervous about being committed to relationships. I'm sorry for being so silly for all these things. And she's like, Sam, if like you got to be in, you have to choose me. And that means you can't live as a single bachelor anymore.
What did she mean by that exactly?
Like going out with like my like friends who were women and like proper boundaries with ladies and like, you know.
Okay, so it wasn't about like a messy apartment.
No.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah.
No, it was just like I can't just go hang out with a group of girls. I have to like, you know.
Yeah, instead I'm smart.
I was like, and it took me forever to realize like, oh yeah, I probably need to be wise with my words. I really need to watch what I do, how I say things, all those things. Even if I'm just being
nice and friendly,
nice, casual Sam, it can still interpret something wrong.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, babe. And I was like, that was the moment where I started to grow up in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So then we started to try to figure out how to get married.
Yeah.
And we went through a bunch of family drama.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was this about the Texas thing?
I held on to it. No.
Just let it stew.
No, but like it was really a moment of like Hannah's parents had to really see her as a grown woman.
Yeah.
And also learn how we exist together.
Yeah.
Right? Because I was new. I was a degreeless Yeah.
Carlos.
Carlos. Longboarding guy. Yeah. Who's trying to steal away this Michigan woman who's going to college, uh-huh. all these things. And so it was a time where I had to really prove to them that I can be a good husband.
Yeah.
And be a good supporter and provider. But at the same time, it was a time where they got to see Hannah grow up and grow together in that. And so then I have this great plan to get engaged with you.
Yeah, you did.
Snowstorm rolls in. Mm-hmm. Craziness happens.
In Texas.
I get sick.
Well,
I was sick.
You were just very, very anxious.
I was anxious and sick.
We get it. Anxiously sick.
So all my really cool plans kind of went to crapper, but I'm the only one that's mad about it. But she still said yes.
I did.
So I can't really be mad about it.
Yeah.
And so we start planning our wedding.
Yeah.
In Michigan. Mm-hmm. During this time, I'm trying to get a job. And I was hunting for everything. And there was another thing on my list that I needed to do too. And so I became a assistant teacher at a preschool. And I just hung out with kids all day.
That's the sound you make when you do assistant teaching for...
What do you need? Okay, that's my list sound. So,
oh, okay.
Just checking it off his list.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so we get married and we go to the Upper Peninsula. So if you look at Michigan, right this way, mm-hmm. there's this little like island mm-hmm. area mm-hmm. where we went up there and we went waterfall hunting.
We did.
Mm-hmm. With guns. Just kidding. No. I'll save one. We like went on hikes and stuff.
Why?
Because I started waterfall hunting and got to bring some clarity.
Yeah, okay.
And yeah, we finally get married. And now we're trying to figure out, okay, we're married.
Great.
We did it.
Yeah.
And we're kind of like, we spent how long trying to get it done? A year?
Yeah, it was a bit more. It was like, it was 9 months from engaged to wedding, but it was also like we had been talking about getting married for a few months before you even proposed. So it had been probably like a year and a half, maybe.
Right. And so we would put a lot of our energy and our time into just getting married. Yeah. And we did. Yeah. And we kind of were like just left afterwards being like, what are we going to do now?
Yeah.
Now, what do we want to do?
I think there's a lot of people that can struggle with that. They'll get kind of stuck on the wedding or even just the fact that there was struggle with getting married for you guys. There's lots of things you had to go through, but not necessarily the long-term plan of like, where are we going now, everybody? Yeah.
And so Hannah moved into my apartment.
I did.
And we shared that apartment with another couple. And then Hannah was doing school mm-hmm. and working mm-hmm. full-time. Mm-hmm. And I was working full time. And so our lives were very busy.
It was very busy.
And we're dealing with like roommate drama. And we were like, man, we need to go do something. Yeah. And so a year passes of us working and just kind of like going through those like first year of marriage problems, mm-hmm. you know, of just being like.
Only with roommates.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We made it.
You almost had to play nice at times just because they're around, huh?
Yeah. Very, very true. But then Hannah, in a moment, right, we're kind of trying to dream. We're trying to figure out what we want to do. Hannah's like, you know what, Sam? We owe no debt. We don't have any payments. We don't have any things holding us down here. What if we went to the mission organization that I went to a long time ago when we first talked, mm-hmm. but we did it as a couple? I was like, oh, man. We could. And I was like,
because it was between that or like us moving to Texas, like getting a dog, getting a house and just kind of settling down.
And then, And Hannah's like, we have things that we talked about in the beginning of our relationships, dreams that we dream together, you know, but I think this is right now what the Lord has for us. And it's our choice. We have a choice in this. Mm-hmm. I was like, dang, she's right. I married the right one.
Okay.
Because she was able to tell me how it is and bring focus to the reality of what we were doing. We're just kind of living, you know, we weren't in our passion. We weren't like
the community purpose.
Yeah. And even our community, mm-hmm. like the friends that we have are moving away and doing stuff too. And so it was just an off ramp. Mm-hmm. We said, okay, let's do this. So we moved down and we joined this mission organization and we do it together. And so we're doing the same classes.
Staff?
We weren't on staff yet.
You were just
We had to do the schooling first.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we did the school and we were really enjoying it. It was really fun. I mean, we made new friends and like, we were probably the older people.
We were. We're the only married couple in our group.
Mm-hmm. And so people thought we were staff at first. Yeah. Like, no, we're students. Be cool with us.
Be friends.
And so slowly we became kind of like a mom and dad of people.
Yeah.
And if I could describe...
I know the feeling, by the way.
If I could kind of describe like our dynamic is like, I'm very much the person who like, everyone come here. And like, I bring people together. Mm-hmm. But where Hannah covers my flaws is she's able to go to the individual or bring the person that I might've overlooked, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that was our dynamic with this group of just out of high school kids. And we really enjoyed our time there. I mean, obviously wherever we go, there's going to be people who we don't necessarily agree with. But we had to pick where we're going to do our outreach. And we're like, okay, where are we going to do our outreach? And so also for the clarity of the podcast, we cannot name this certain country we went to because we went there under disguise.
Can we get your disguise names?
Yes. I almost said Barnabas. That's the podcast name. So we had to go into Northern Africa. I can say that.
Yeah.
And we're under the disguise of being like American students wanting to learn more about
culture
and all this nation and stuff. But we're actually coming in as missionaries.
Tell you about Jesus.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
And so for 2 months, we were in this country.
Yeah.
And before going, during our schooling time, we were praying into our family. We want to have a family. We want to do these things, you know, and breaking off like this, like generational chains of like, know what? I'm not going to allow my future daughter or son to deal with these things. And so we were going through a huge, just learning ourselves again in the marriage and stuff and like refocusing some things. Mm-hmm. The closer and closer we got to leaving to Northern Africa, I started to get real, real nervous. And I just didn't know why.
Were you scared?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, why do people pull guns at me in Thailand? Like, why am I scared of going to Northern Africa?
Yeah.
And Hannah was just like, cool cucumber, which funny. Is
not how we normally roll.
Yeah. Most of the time, that's Hannah and that's me. Yeah. But we were switched. So we get to... Jesus, I'm so sorry.
You get to this country.
I have to kill you, John.
I was like, so we arrive in Northern Africa.
And 2 weeks go by and Hannah goes, oh man, my period hasn't started yet. And so Hannah, I think you brought... No, you had to go buy.
I had to go find them. I had to go on the hunt.
Time out. Foreign country, finding a pregnancy test?
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this was were there very many amenities in this country?
We were in a city, so I would say we were in the best possible
scenario for finding that. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so then I realized why I was nervous. Finally, I knew why in my heart the Lord was preparing me to find out your wife is going to be pregnant in a foreign country and not have any of the amenities or any of the necessities that we have in America, in Northern Africa.
Yeah. I didn't even have like prenatal vitamins or anything like that either.
And so I was like, Lord, we have to have you in this moment because we're during this time we were followed by like secret police, you know, number one, they watched what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And also they want to make sure that we weren't, you know, foreign spies. Cause like before we went there, apparently some spies from another country came in and killed somebody. So like foreigners are being watched.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
Right. And so I remember one time we had like a car parked out from our house just with the lights on. And I was like, everyone just walk by, just act natural. And during this time, we also had our leaders. They were already pregnant going in.
Yeah.
And she was really sick. And so they were not really on the clock a lot.
Yeah.
So again, that leadership title fell onto me and Hannah.
Mm-hmm. As students.
And so we were leading this group in a foreign country. Halfway through, the leader had to leave, the pregnant lady. And so kind of refocused the group a little bit. We echoed our frustrations and things like that. Mm-hmm. How we're like, we just want to be students and we didn't sign up to be the leaders. we can lead, but you seem like you don't really like our leadership. So please take your leadership, you know? And then the rest of that time was really good. We had a lot of little, like, cool little God things that happened.
Yeah.
Like, we went to go find you pregnancy, like premarital stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And the first time, the first place we went to was like, oh, here you go. And it was like a plan B.
Oh, geez.
Sort of stuff. We're like, no.
Not what I mean.
Yeah. And then we found this one little shop. Like, it was a nicer shop, mm-hmm. too.
It was a pharmacy.
You know, like, we, like, typed into the Google Translator. And the doctor, because apparently in this country, doctors are the only ones who can make a pharmacy. So the doctor came down and was like, hey, I speak English because I'm a doctor. And we're like, oh, what's up? And she's like, if you need anything, just come talk to me.
Nice.
And so we saw these really cool little moments of just
God was providing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Hannah never got sick.
No, I never had like morning sickness or anything.
Well, it's also kind of weird because you're also eating strange food. So like you add that on top of it, you would expect like you're just going to be sick the whole time.
Yeah. And the woman who was with us for the month was sick and was throwing up. That's and so
miserable.
It was really how bizarre, you know? And so we crush this country.
Yep.
We have a really great time. We got to hang out with some underground artists in this place, some teenagers who were interested in figuring out why we were there. And, you know, we had some cool stories from those things. We got to ride cars into the Sahara Desert when we got stuck. And we got to visit some Star Wars locations,
mm-hmm.
like all cool. the banded sets and stuff. So that was really cool. So
you were on Tatooine.
Yeah, we were on Tatooine. And I have the pictures outside of us, all of us outside of Luke's house.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so we went to the actual place. And so that was really cool. One time we were driving and we were with this guy named Jimmy. Jimmy is one of the coolest people I ever met. He had some level of cancer and he said, no, I'm going to live my life as a missionary. And he was with us and he was like a local missionary there. And he was driving one of the cars one time during a trip. And I saw him kind of tense up. And I was like, whoa, what's going on? And like these, like those big, like Humvee, you know, like tarps. And you see a familiar, like black flag with white lettering on it and drive past us, car full of white people. And he goes, whew. And I was like, what was that? He's like, that was ISIS. And I was like,
okay.
Oh, what? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I thought you said ISIS.
Hannah almost got adopted once. Remember that?
Yeah.
But you guys didn't. And so it was just a time. It was an adventure. And during this time, everything was good. And pregnancy went well. We got to see a doctor.
Yeah.
We brought our... oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. I'm doing so good too.
So you got to see a doctor.
We got to see a doctor there. A different doctor from the one we were selling. And... the local missionaries there, this is like the doctor they went to.
Uh-huh.
And we got to like do an ultrasound. And that was the first time we got to see Miss Nome.
Did you find out that it was a girl at that time?
No, I was only like
just a few
five
weeks.
Or 6 weeks. Yeah. Okay.
But we remember the anticipation of like
heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're just all in there. And like the waiting room, it was like in an alley.
Mm-hmm.
And we went up some flights of stairs. And then we went into this waiting room full of women.
It's all
just
enormously pregnant women.
And then here's two white people, three white people.
Yeah.
Because we had the one team's other leaders come with us.
And our translator was also present. And our
translator was with us too. And so I remember we're just like on the edge of our seat. And I have pictures of all this still. So I can go whoop, whoop, whoop. And we get to see this little heartbeat. And it was just a huge moment for us of just being like, yes, everything's okay. And the rest of our trip went really great. We came back and we went, okay, that was really good.
Let's do it again.
Let's go to the second level.
Yeah. So in this organization, you have to complete two of their programs in order to join their organization.
Right.
And so that's what our mission was.
Right. And so this time around, it was most of the same people who were in our previous school was in this one.
Yeah.
But a lot of drama happened. Just a lot of drama amongst the students and things like that. And like money issues and things like that. And we just slowly started to see the curtain of this place kind of like see behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we were still walking out in our giftings, right? Yeah. Being with people. We were, you know, helping others. We were learning ourselves, you know, what is our mission statement was something we learned, you know, and we got to like have really cool teachers and stuff. And this one time there's this lady that comes and she kind of like prays over people and she like gets words and things. She's like going over and she's like praying for everybody. And she gets to Hannah. And Hannah wasn't necessarily showing. You weren't showing for a while.
No, yeah. I was still early in the second trimester, so I wasn't, yeah, wasn't much there.
And she like walked over and she's like, there's a song inside of you. And I was like, ooh. And she's like, and it's a really beautiful song. And it was just a really cool moment of like, oh, that's, aww, cool. Yeah. And so we do that. And then we decided to, that summer, what did we do? You were about, now we've done the 3 months of schooling. Mm-hmm. We're doing outreach, mm-hmm, but not somewhere else. This outreach is going to be like a drive around America.
Yeah. And someone in the third trimester can't really do that.
Yeah.
So we did a on location, yeah, outreach.
A local
one. And so we did like a whole bunch of different jobs.
Mm-hmm. Kind of seeing more of where we could fit in the organization on, mm-hmm, different, mm-hmm, roles too.
Because we definitely saw ourselves there.
Yeah.
And had good relationships with people.
Yeah.
Dreams and stuff. And we were starting to like dream together about what can we do? What do we want to do as a family? You know, and then Hannah pops out a baby.
Just like that.
And it's a little girl named Miss Noah May. And she's awesome. Yes. And we join staff there and we do a whole bunch of jobs.
Yeah.
Hannah's at home with the baby. And I kind of like go around for a while, right? Doing certain little jobs and things like that. And then they offer me the youth director for summer camps, essentially. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I can do that. So for like a year, I got to prepare for this summer. And so I was like doing curriculums, getting teachers, mm-hmm, talking to parents, all that stuff. But that's where I got to really see the inner workings and got this kind of see how I was describing to Hannah when we were almost practicing how to entitle this part of the conversation is the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah,
sure.
And just like, a lot of things that make sense, especially when money gets involved.
Yeah.
And especially when all these sort of smaller things start to add up. And during this time, there's a transition happening at this location about their theology, about what they believe. And
they had a theological transition?
Yeah.
Oh.
Some things happen with other parts of their organization in other spots. And someone amongst our community was saying something and was telling other communities. And so it just kind of blew up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it went all the way to the top of this organization. And they're like, you got a hard ball. This is what we believe. And it was just a stamp. Mm-hmm. And if you're in leadership, if you're a part of the staff, you have to believe A, B, and C.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay. And we got to see quickly in this season. And this is the season where we're doing the summer camp. And that was really fun. I'll get to that in a minute. But quickly, this family became a business. Mm. And we saw our closest friends get this bye. And it was just no relationship to it.
Wow.
And just told to leave the organization and all these things. I mean, there's a lot to it.
Yeah.
But me and Hannah were fighting for more clarity and like asked for meetings with the councils and the leaders there and things like that. And when we would talk to them, we were really met with, we don't know what we're really doing. But this is what we're doing. And so it left this real bitter taste in our mouth. But during that time also, we were leaving the summer camp.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't really have time to be like, what am I doing here?
Yeah. So like,
you just kind of had to pick your battles at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. We really were.
And try to survive.
Yeah. And so we were like on the clock. And when we got off the clock is when we had to figure out what was going on. Mm-hmm. And also try to comfort our friends, you know, and then also try to figure out what the heck is going on here and get answers when we weren't getting answers. And a lot of things happen. And the summer is great. I fall in love with all my life, right? I was the man, you know, like, oh, Sam's the man. He can do it. But this time I'm the man to the other people. All right, staff, you have to go do this. Okay. And then I would like get things together. Hannah helped me a ton with all the like logistical things. And I got to go, I'm in a leadership position. And I got to look back at my life and all these little things that I did that led me to this moment of like building something new because the previous people who were a part of this, they kind of did a lot of sketchy things. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be always open. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to like make sure the Lord is in the middle of everything I do.
Transparency, transparency.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And it was great. I look back at that summer and I have a lot of hurt and a lot of like hurt moments from that. But I look back on leading the youth program and I just like see how I'm here in the studio right now, but we can't jump ahead.
We're not there yet.
I'm sorry.
What did you learn about integrity during that season?
I learned that it comes from you first.
Yeah.
It comes from you first, especially with being a leader, right? We also had to disciple our staff. So our staff were the second students, like we were when we did the two schools. Their outreach was our program. So that year also we were discipling these students. And so I and Hannah, this love, that's what we do best. We're people. We disciple. We'll fight for people. Mm-hmm. So that's why the summer was so hard, is that we were doing a ton of things and we're being stretched and pulled and we had to pick our battles of what we wanted to do. And like a lot of fallout came from it. A lot of this hurt relationships, a lot of things like that. Mm-hmm. And by the end of it, I was exhausted.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
And because I had no time to rest.
Mm-hmm. We even ended up over that summer in the ER because you're like, yeah, my chest is just feeling, I kept like, having so chest tight. Pains. It's like, oh my gosh, Sam's having a heart attack. It was just all of the stress and anxiety over everything.
And so that's something I learned is my levels
of you know what your I can threshold handle. Now.
Yeah.
Because I was doing all of it.
Yeah, you were.
I had Hannah help me with the things that she could, and I had my leader behind me. But he was also dealing with a thousand other things. And he was one of the high up leaders too. But man, I love him. Carl, shout out to Carl. Sorry.
Ew, Carl.
Yeah, he had a lot of wisdom in that season. And he really called me out of my anger. Because we'd get into moments where we're supposed to be planning. And I'm like, Carl, I'm mad.
He's
like,
about to punch the wall.
You're grieving. And you're trying to do ministry at the same time. And so it's kind of a natural thing to be angry.
And he pointed back to Jesus every time. And he was one of the main people who was like being targeted in this season. Mm. And he constantly was just representing Jesus. And it made me mad. I was like, Carl, just be mad. And he's like, why? And I was just like, oh, man, Carl, I love you so much. Because he just reminded me and was such a mentor in that season of how I want to lead. Mm-hmm. And when I'm stressed or when I'm pressured, what leaks out of me? Mm. You know, is it going to be joy and love, or is it going to be anger or, mm-hmm. you know, all those little things, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I learned my threshold. I learned all these things and we learned that our place here is done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we needed to figure out what we want to do with the next part of our life. And we felt that release, right? Mm-hmm. Because we had someone really wise tell us, like, if you can't agree with this leadership there, right? And their actions, and you're there going against them, like you're causing disunity. You need to go do what you think is best. Mm-hmm. And so we couldn't just leave right away. We couldn't just do all those things. And we still felt like there was things we needed to do there.
Yeah.
We had people we had to take care of.
Yeah. And we wanted to end well.
Yeah. Because we saw how things ended poorly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of like took a real slow exit at the expense of ourselves. Yeah. For other people to feel better would be the really great way to say that.
Yeah.
Relationship is important, and that's part of being in ministry.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like that's what you learned through Carl, too.
Yeah.
Like, it really is about how you leave people. And it's one of those things that, you know, you've got these lasting memories of people in your life. And I've got similar memories with people in my life, you know, where they don't even know the impact they made on me.
Right.
Yeah. And sometimes it is simply through action.
Yeah.
Not necessarily words as much as it's just how they would present Christ through just living their lives.
Right.
And especially difficulty.
Yeah.
How you end up leaving or the integrity that you hold during a time of difficulty and how you represent Christ is important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good.
And during that time, we were given opportunity to like, we still talked to leadership and had our voice echoed and kind of went like, this wasn't right. And we had these conversations and slowly and surely we're just kind of like, okay, it's good. I'm glad you think that, you know,
just tiptoeing backwards.
Yeah. And we just kind of started to see that even amongst the people closest to us too, because we were already going a different direction.
Yeah.
they were staying in it, you know? And so we just kind of just slowly started to see that divide, a natural divide, you know? And so we got to have really good conversations with people about, hey, I love you and we're friends, but like, this is our choice and this is what we believe and we're going to pray for you. And we had moments where we would go to people and be like, we're sorry that we might've been part of this disunity, but please forgive us. And we had really good moments. We also had hard moments, you know? And then we left. We're in Orlando, Florida, with Noah May, who is now two. And she is awesome. Recently lost a tooth.
So she's now two or two at the time?
Two at the time.
Okay.
And I was like 37 weeks pregnant with our second.
Right. And so I went, I gotta get a job. Holy moly. And so we just start going around and I'm like, hi, here's my resume. Hi, my name's Sam Burrow. Here's my resume. And I get all the places I went to were like, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I was like, I'm just not feeling it. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Just I'm like grab them all. Say yes to everything.
And I was like, I don't know. And we just kept going to the Lord with it. And he's like, no, not yet. Not yet. And then finally get the Best Buy. And I turned to my resume and like, we'll hire you seasonally. And the Lord's like, this is your job. And this will only be your job. And I was like, Hannah, this is what the Lord's saying. And she's like, okay, I trust you. And so I start in seasonally right before the holidays. Okay. And I had to prove myself, you know, like Black Friday, like all those things. Like I was just in the thick of it, you know?
So I've learned through another podcast with you that Black Friday isn't the worst day to be in retail.
It's actually the day after the returns. Like, I don't know. I didn't understand it. It's like you bought this yesterday and now you don't want it. A lot of times it's people finding it for a higher price, trying to get money back for it.
Oh,
it's a scam.
There's a system in play.
Yeah. And people aren't nice. I have a lot of fun. I actually did not have a lot of terrible customers for my year at Best Buy.
Yeah.
Just that one day.
It was that one day and a couple other people during this season that we're still kind of in right now. But yeah, I'm working at Best Buy and prove my worth. And I get offered a part-time position in the computer section, which I kind of knew computers like above average. And these people are like, oh yeah, listen. I would like listen, like shadow them with, I'm not supposed to be shadowing. They are ones on the side. But I was like, if I got to stay in this game, I got to stay in this game. And so I like follow people.
Yeah.
And these like, this sounds kind of weird, but just normal people, right? I was in a religious organization for a while.
Yeah.
And now I'm out in the world.
Yeah.
Just out with your average Joe. Yeah. Out of this, out of that bubble. And so I got to experience like all those things like, oh yeah, like this is, we talk about going to strip clubs, apparently. I was like, that was my first day. My coworker talking about that. I was like, oh, okay.
This is not what we were talking about.
Well, welcome to Best Buy.
Welcome to Best Buy. But it was a good time. And then we give birth to a child.
Yep.
Little Lincoln Roy Burrow.
Yep.
And he had a little bit of complications at birth.
Yeah, he had high jaundice levels and his belly rubin and everything. So he was in there for a bit.
Yeah. And so I was at home with Noah. And so there was a little bit of a separation for a little bit. And was underneath like blue lights.
Trying to get his blood levels good again.
And so during this time, we were still connected and we were still very much had a part in a people's community. Lives there, a community. And then, like we all know, COVID.
The COVIDs
hit us hard. And I'm like, oh man. And during this whole time, right, we're being provided for our ridiculously expensive apartment. Food. Like we were just like, Lord, this is in your hands. You know, but every time we were provided for.
Well, give me an idea of what it was like as far as price of things there versus here, because people here, they're only going to have the context for here. So they don't understand the level you're talking about.
So there's a castle in Orlando where this evil mouse lives. So everything's just a little bit more expensive there just because it's a tourist destination. I'm referencing Disney World, by the way, everybody.
And we lived like half an hour outside of Disney. And so that was the prime retail if you were working in Orlando. So if you had the big bucks, you wanted to live kind of where we were.
And we went into new apartments too. That was a cool moment too.
Yeah. Yeah. So our rent for like a 3-bedroom, 2-bedroom apartment was close to $2,000.
Yeah. Ouch.
And that's just rent. That's not even like utilities or anything.
Yeah. But wow. Every month we were provided for and we had food and it wasn't like scarcity. It's like, here's your slice of the bread, you know? Yeah. It's like we were fine and we got to see every month the Lord come through for us.
Yeah.
And so during this time, right, I now work at Best Buy.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got to get a second job. And so I started to go, okay, what can I do? So I started to go on the hunt. I was like, well, I really loved being the youth director. I would really love to get back into that because of my history with working as an interim youth pastor in Grand Rapids, also with working with youth from Spring Hill, the camp we worked at together and met, working with kids with special needs. Like, I was like, that's where I feel I want to pursue.
Yeah.
You know, and I see the fruit and all the things that the Lord taught me during that time, so much so that that'll be the part three of this podcast. But COVID happened and Best Buy provides for us during the lockdown.
Yeah.
And it was the only place that would have provided for us during it. Mm. All the other places I shut down or cut off people.
Or you would have continued having to work.
During the pandemic. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Best Buy's like, you go home. We got you.
You got like disaster pay essentially. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
And it was just like, if I would have gone anywhere else, and I was like, that's why the Lord told me to do Best Buy and Best Buy only.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And at the same time, our son, who was maybe like 3 or 4 months, like the month before COVID happened, he had a respiratory illness. Right. And so my doctor, his pediatrician was like, yeah, he probably has asthma. I'm like, cool. So I have a compromised baby.
Right.
With poor little lungs. So you going to work for at a different place would have been really hard.
Right. And I had a youth job lined up before everything hit too. This local church, I was going to be part-time and stuff, like literally just got approved.
Yeah.
And then they couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And they said, so I really can't hire a part-time youth pastor right now. I was like, oh, dang. And so lockdown happens and we're hanging out all the time with kids. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's kind of what gave us our sanity, I believe.
Yeah.
It's just like, we just got to hang out with our kids and just be ridiculous. I know you probably feel the same way with Hank.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just a good boy.
He's just a good boy.
Hank's my dog, listener.
But we just kind of, it was a hard time.
Yeah.
Not trying to like code it or anything, but we had each other.
Yeah.
We had our kids and we just, you know, we had a fashion show for Noah once.
Yeah.
And then we had a really good friend of ours. Also, this friend of yours.
Oh. We have a mutual friend.
Yeah. We had a mutual friend in this location named Bobby.
Yeah.
Bobby Durand.
Yeah.
Which, and, listener, if you've listened, she's been on a couple of our podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she goes, what do you want to do? And we had a relationship with her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, like right now, I really want to get a youth job, you know? And she's like,
hey.
You serious?
I know some folks.
And I was like, oh, okay. And this is during all this craziness.
Yeah, it's like back in March or April.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so send out my resume, you know, and then I get a
little email.
Mm-hmm.
Boop. And I'm like, well, hey there, it's an actual human. We've been in the search for a youth pastor for at least a year and a half. Mm. Once we knew Cameron was going to be lead pastor, we started in on trying to find a youth pastor. And so we had people apply from straight out of Bible college in LA. And then once they figured out where we actually were, they were like, no way, Jose. Because we look really good on paper as a church. Like, you get your own building, you get your own budget, you know, you have a supportive team, you're not by yourself. Mm-hmm. But then when you look in where we are very isolated and rural. And so that wasn't going to be for some people. So, and we had had, you know, there were a handful of people that Cameron had talked to and, but we hadn't had any luck yet.
Yeah. And I was applying to a ton of places. I was like on this like ChristianJobSearch.com and like interviewing with people and talking with people and constantly, just like how it was in Grand Rapids, right? Yeah. When I was trying to find a job at like a Pizza Hut, RIP Pizza Hut. Sorry, I know it's closing down.
It is closing down.
No, yeah. No, not Pizza Hut. Burger King.
But also Pizza Hut. We had a Pizza Hut.
Oh, man, double
we
for
just,
me.
Yeah, we just had, what are you? What are you talking about?
Yeah, Burger King's shutting down. Burger King's
shutting down. I heard that.
Are you making that up?
Here in La Grande, yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry.
What am I going to do about breakfast? I live by Burger King.
Today might be the day. I mean, it might be today or tomorrow, buddy. Like, that's it.
You got to go. Yeah. You got to go right now.
Call your wife. Whoa, right now. Honey, quick, I need a Whopper.
I'm out. Grab him Whoppers. So yeah, during this time, just job hunting and getting all these things together and then talking to Cameron and then we have like an exposure happen, you know, we had people living with us, you know, and just like, I even went to go hang out with some friends. And then one time during this whole thing toward the end of that summer too, I believe.
It was like men. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's almost an exposure and we're like, no more. Mm-hmm. And so there was like a real divide this time.
Yeah.
In real isolation. We're like, we were definitely like this. We weren't part of the community anymore.
Yeah.
And it was a hard thing.
Yeah.
But it was also a really good thing too for us because it freed us from those responsibilities of being parents to people.
Yeah.
Because we, toward the end, we were like, we're almost like enabling people to not figure it out themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was probably close to the end when we actually got off staff.
Yeah.
And so we were like, we gotta make sure. And so all these things happen. And then I'm trying to think. I will go back to Best Buy. Mm-hmm. They call me back and they say, Sam, we're hiring back some people. Only a limited amount. Would you like to be one? I went, absolutely. And I was the last person on their list to go back to work. And so I got to work. And so my job switched around a little bit. And so I did cashiering. But I also worked security. I'm doing air quotes right now, listener. So I was at the front with my mask on and a basket of mask. And I just tell people to, hey, would you like to wear a mask in our store? We just want to protect our clientele and all these things. And I would tell you, listener, 98% of people were very kind at a retail place in Orlando. Like, would like, oh, like, yeah, absolutely. Only like 2% of people would like try to sneak around me. Or be like, oh yeah, and then take it off, you know. And then our ruling there was, if you don't feel comfortable with them in the store wearing a mask, you don't have to help them. So a lot of times, I'd customers come up to me, be like, no one's helping me. I'm like, well, maybe if you were to wear a mask, our clientele would feel our staff or would feel more comfortable, you know, with you. And so then, okay, sure. And so go back, and then all of a sudden, me and Cameron are still talking, and then we have a big Zoom call.
Yeah.
I was there.
Face to face.
I remember. You were running Zoom. Around in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we just had this moment of, in this season of life, being a family, and having that same feeling of nothing's really holding us here. Mm-hmm. Now wanting to pursue this dream that we've always had. It evolved almost, you know, like, oh, missionaries, a family. A lot of times in our early days, we always thought it had to be separate. And the Lord's like, why would your dreams be separate from mine? Like, why would you not expect, like, I want you to have a family. I want you to do these things, you know? And so we got to see our dream in the season of the mission organization we're with evolve into being a family and evolve into, what else do I have for you, Sam? And so then we went, Lord, if this is what you have for us in La Grande, Oregon, you better bet your butt we're going to go there. Mm-hmm. And we have been immensely blessed by this church and by this community here with helping us get here and, you know, helping us with Meals on Train, Meals on Wheels. I know that's the place that we're.
That's for elderly Sam.
Is it the meal train?
Yeah, it's called the meal train.
The meal train and just like getting shovels and sleds and, you know, stopping by with Christmas cookies. Shout out to everyone who did that. Like, we have been so blessed here, and we had this moment during Christmas where we're reflecting back on last Christmas where all our money was going toward rent and food. And the mom's group that Hannah was a part of, like the woman that was in charge, ran like the present operation there. And so this church group blessed us with gifts with our kids that year.
Yeah, last year.
Last year. Mm-hmm. In this full circle moment, we were able to get gifts for our kids this year and not have to worry about how are we going to like scheme out of this? We didn't scheme anything, but just like how to strategize how we're going to do our payments and stuff now. And we were just kind of like sat back and I was like, wow, thank you, Lord, for your, that's his integrity in everything. Mm-hmm. I think it's so funny how I always, we always as humans go, Lord's not going to provide. I have to do it myself. It has to be me. It has to do these things. But the thing throughout our lives is that in those moments where we can't do it, he always comes through. Mm-hmm. And hence why we're now in La Grande, Oregon during this crazy season in COVID.
I know. It's such a weird time to join a staff of people and a church. Like we had to explain to him in normal life, like how many people actually go to our church.
Which I still don't believe.
Hundreds and hundreds of people that we haven't seen.
I've got pictures.
It's real. Yeah. Our last in-person Easter was like 850 people. And, you know, it's so crazy. And there's lots of people who I'm sure are ready to get to know you. Lots of kids who are needing your leadership. So as you look forward into the season, you know, and I know you're planning out as best you can how to minister in this season. What are you learning? What are you hoping for? What are you dreaming about?
I think it kind of sounds weird, but it's a really big blessing that I don't have to really dive in right. Like, hi, my name's Sam. Hi, my name's Sam. You know, and kind of like,
no, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Like I get to strategize. Mm-hmm. I really get to take my time and also be intentional about the relationships I build. Because this isn't a summer camp where I see a kid for a week and have to not force an impact, but be intentional and speak about Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But like give an experience, you know, because that's what summer camps are. They're an experience. They're like a jumping pad for faith for high schoolers, middle schoolers, whatever. But here I get to take my time
and really, disciple a little more.
And really dream and be excited for partnering with a faith center and just growing into something new as a family and as friends, because you guys are my new friends.
Yeah. Frenzies.
But also like one of the big reasons why I was like, this is where the Lord's calling us. And this is where, you know, we're choosing to go to was how intentional during this whole process you were with me and Hannah. And how like you guys want to pursue her and have her input and all these things were in past organizations. It was like, Sam, you know, but I'm like, yo, behind every normal guy is a pretty sweet woman, you know, who is the support I need, you know? And I just like the dreams that she'll have here, you know, and like,
we're excited for that too, Hannah. I'm like so excited to see because you're placed here intentionally as well. It's not just Sam.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, you have giftings that right now it's intense because you have these little people that you care for every day. And it's intense. And it's pretty intense, but you have dreams and like God-given gifts. And so, yeah, to see where that gets placed within the body is going to be really great.
We're curious. I know.
Yeah, we're going to put you to work.
And our kids are going to have friends. Yeah. That's something that really, really lacked. And we were in the motion of getting while we're at Orlando. But then COVID hit. And then it was like, we have to find community. Yeah. We have to find people Noah and Lincoln's age to be around, you know. And now we have a ton of kids.
Yeah. I know. It is fun to see Noemi like light up about going to see her friends.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
It is. She loves people.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has that people person in her just as much as we do.
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to the story that was left out. And there's a lot of small stories that I hopefully some other time I can tell you about all the little fun things that the Lord did during this time for me and for Hannah. But we're excited to be here.
Yeah. And listener, these are stories that you get to go and ask Sam about yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Or ask Hannah. Is it true that you really wanted to hug him? Yeah, it's true. I hugged him. But we're real excited to be here and we're very blessed. Hannah can tell you how like I'm just like so content.
Yeah, you are.
Even in this season.
Yeah.
Being like, thank you, Lord, for providing and allowing us to leave that situation at Orlando mm-hmm. and pursue healthiness and things. Because during that time, during quarantine, we also sought out therapy and like got to talk to people and really digest the hurts and the pains that we went through at that organization. And now we're still processing things, obviously. Mm. But at the same time, like we're in a healthy state. Mm-hmm. You know, we're able to dream. We're able to acknowledge the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been fun to see how you guys are fitting into our little Faith Center team. And I'm really excited as we kind of grow and expand and everybody hopefully gets a shot or gets immunity in some way. We start having church and together and you guys get to see more people. But I'm really excited to see where God takes us as a team. And it does feel very complete at this point, like a team wise. And so it's just really nice to be able to have that feeling for us that have felt understaffed for a while. And so it's nice to have somebody who's full on board.
And makes light of things too.
Yeah, that's a good really
I'm a pretty serious person. I don't know what you're talking about.
So thanks for listening in, listener. I'll be signing off. This is my last podcast for a while. This is your last podcast
for a little bit.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You go and get them. Whatever that means.
I don't know what that is. Who knows? I'm going on sabbatical.
We're going to have a sabbatical podcast when you come back.
All right. Well, thank you for listening in, listener. And tune in next time. Hopefully we'll have another interview coming up after Sam. But I won't be a part of it. I don't know what it's going to be.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, we thank you for listening in.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Center Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review for daily and weekly content. Once again, if you would like more info about Faith Center, you can visit lgfoursquare.com, lg4square.com. And you can email the show at podcasts@lgfoursquare.com. Thanks for listening and God bless.